Hi, and welcome to this episode of Berry Broadcast. I'm Kate Rowe.
And I'm Liz Garvey. We are the financial planners at Barry Investment Advisors. Today, we are excited to chat with Stu Millard, who is the founder of Senior Insurance Solutions based out of Scituate, Massachusetts. Welcome, Stu.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So Stu is a certified financial planner and is also certified for long-term care. He doesn't charge a fee for his services. He is compensated directly by the various insurance companies that he represents. So, Stu, would you mind providing our listeners with a quick summary of what you do?
I'd be happy to. First of all, I want to thank Kate and Liz for inviting me to sit in with them today. My specialty is Medicare. So I am a certified financial planner by trade, but I don't do money management anymore. I leave it to folks like Kate and Liz to handle. But what I like to do is help folks out with Medicare. I kind of stumbled across the space about 12 years ago. I realized it's very much underutilized. There's not a lot of folks that do what I do. It's a great niche for me. And like you folks said, I do get paid by the insurance companies, which is nice. So there's no fee for my services. And I'm a big believer in education. Sitting down, educating folks on what they get with Medicare, what they don't get with Medicare. Talk about the different types of plans that are available locally and help people identify the best plan.
Awesome. Great. So I think the first question, Sue, is can you explain the alphabet soup of Medicare?
Happy to. So we're probably not going to get into too much detail today. It's really just a general overview. So when folks sign up for Medicare, and again, most of them will do it at age 65 unless they're going to continue to work. Then they can wait a little bit depending upon the size of the company. When they do sign up, they're going to sign up for Medicare Part A and Part B with the government. That's all you do with the government. Part A, typically there's no charge for because folks have normally paid into the 40 quarters of Social Security or their spouse has. If they haven't, they can piggyback off their spouse's benefit. And Part A will cover someone's inpatient needs. So Part A covers someone if they get admitted to the hospital or if they have to go to rehab or skilled nursing facility. And just having Medicare A and B on its own is really not sufficient. There are large deductibles and copays that come with Part A and Part B. So for instance, if someone ends up in the hospital, they get admitted, the first night Medicare charges a deductible of $1,364.
Wow.
It's a lot of money.
Right.
And that would actually reset. It's not an annual deductible, which most people are used to with their health insurance. So that deductible resets once someone's home for more than 60 days.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Someone could conceivably pay two or three hospital deductibles during the same year, depending upon how their visits to the hospital are spread out. Mm-hmm. Medicare also, after day 60, if someone's in the hospital for long term, starts hitting them with a very high daily copay. Another big difference from Medicare than any other insurance that folks have had in the past is Medicare does not come with an out-of-pocket limit. So folks that just have Medicare A and B have unlimited exposure. That makes me very nervous about Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
So the other major benefit under Part A would be if someone ends up in a rehab or skilled nursing facility. And again, Medicare will cover someone in rehab for up to 100 days. It's not long-term care insurance. That's a different topic. And after day 20, there's a pretty large daily copay when someone's in rehab. So that's the Part A benefit, and Part B will cover someone's outpatient needs, such as doctor's appointments, physical therapy, outpatient lab and diagnostic testing, durable medical equipment, outpatient surgery. That also comes with a deductible. Unlike A, it's an annual deductible. This year, it's $185. Once someone satisfies that, their balance of the Part B expenses the remainder of the year, Medicare will cover it 80%, and they'd be responsible for 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with Part A, there's no cap on someone's Part B
right.
exposure.
So that could really add up.
That could add up to an awful lot of money. So A and B is what you do with the government, and then folks need to decide what type of insurance they want to add to help cover those deductibles and copayments. Part C is actually one of the types of plans people can look at, and that's called a Medicare Advantage plan. Those are offered by private insurance companies. And Medicare Advantage plans, what happens is a private insurance company is actually getting paid by the government a monthly amount to service your Medicare A and B. So when someone's on a Medicare Advantage plan, they're still going to pay their Part B premium to the government, whatever that might be. And the standard rate this year is $135.50 a month. But unlike if they have a Medicare supplement plan, which I'll talk about in a minute, anyone that has a Medicare Advantage plan, the private insurance company is going to handle all their claims. So if they should end up in the hospital or if they go see their doctor, Medicare won't pay a dime of the claim, the private insurance company is going to do it. And the reason they're willing to take on this added risk is the government pays them about $600 a month for everyone that's on their plan.
Oh, wow.
So because of that, the Medicare Advantage plans typically will have a lower premium than the supplement plan, but unlike the supplement plan, they won't be covered at 100%. And then you're also going to be dealing with a network either a PPO or an HMO. They will get some additional benefits when they look at Medicare Advantage, and those can vary by carrier, and that's one reason these plans are so attractive. I have many clients that are pretty healthy when they go on Medicare, and they like these Medicare Advantage plans because they're kind of used to the HMO, PPO programs from when they worked. They understand they do have some co-payments as they plan throughout the year, but they love some of these extra benefits like dental, hearing, mm-hmm. eyeglass benefits, fitness benefits, so that can be a big attraction for folks. So that's Medicare Advantage. Part D is strictly your prescription drug coverage, which is, again, all done with private insurance companies. And right now, there's about 26 different plans people can look at when they look at the Part D coverage.
Would you say most people get Part D? Or it depends on
Yeah, everyone. You need to get Part D, and that's yeah. a great question, Liz. I have lots of folks that say, I don't take any medications. Why should I get a prescription drug plan? Mm-hmm. It is, quote-unquote, a voluntary program of the government, but if you don't sign up for Part D when you go on Medicare, the government's going to penalize you,
okay.
and it's a lifetime penalty. So what I'll do if someone's fortunate enough not to take a lot of meds is I will put them in one of the lower-cost prescription drug plans as a placeholder. First of all, that they won't be subject to a penalty later on, and that way they'll have some coverage in case they are prescribed some drugs during the year. Because okay. if you don't sign up for Part D when you go on Medicare, you may be locked out of that for a period of time before you can get back in.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. That was an awesome overview.
Sure.
So what are the important dates that our clients should consider?
Right. So there's lots of dates to consider. There's lots of gray areas, a lot of moving targets. But if someone already has a Medicare plan, between October 15th and December 7th is a period of time that people can change their plan for the first of the following year. And for those that are fortunate enough to live in Massachusetts, they never have to worry about pre-existing conditions. So they can choose either a Medicare Advantage plan, which I just spoke about, or Medicare Supplement plan, and they can go back and forth amongst these plans every year without worrying about pre-existing conditions. So between October 15th, December 7th, they make some changes. If they're going to be retiring, they really need to sign up for a Medicare plan within 2 months of retiring. Most folks don't want to have a period of time where they're not covered. Now, the biggest deal that people get into trouble is if someone goes on COBRA. COBRA, even though it's provided from your employer, it's not considered employer coverage by the government. So if someone is 65 years old or older, they have not signed up for Medicare yet, and they're going to go on COBRA, they must sign up for Part B within 8 months of starting COBRA, or they may be locked out, again, of Medicare for a period of time. So those dates can be a little confusing for folks, and that's why it's important to talk to someone that mm-hmm. can guide them through,
okay.
make sure they don't make any mistakes.
Great. So if a client is going to have an initial call with you, mm-hmm. what would they need to have prepared?
Great question. So first of all, I like to find out what their current situation is. Many people can be confused in terms of how their coverage works. So mm-hmm. if they can have their summary of benefits in front of them, if they're not sure when they're going to retire, we can talk about some possible retirement dates down the line. Normally, when I meet with someone, I like for them to have their prescription drug list available, so we make sure we recommend the right prescription drug plan. And for some of the plans that have networks, we need to know who their doctors may be in case they're looking at a network plan. So outside of that, it's really just doing some more fact-finding on my end when I sit with them and discuss what their situation might be.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are some common mistakes or assumptions that clients tend to make?
Right. And there's a lot of them out there, as you might imagine, Kate. So first of all, I always forewarn folks, don't ask your friends for advice. Most of them have no idea what type of plan they have. Mm-hmm. They all call their plan supplemental. And when we dig a little deeper, we realize they don't actually have a supplement. So the terminology can be awfully confusing for folks, which is why I'm such a big believer in education. Some of the other common mistakes is they may miss those deadlines. So they may be on COBRA, misunderstanding that they have that 8 month window to sign up for Part B. If they miss that 8 month window, they may be locked out of Medicare for a period of time. And there's also a little misunderstanding about the Part D plans, why it's important for them to sign up for one even if they don't take any meds. Mm-hmm. Those are normally the common ones.
Okay. How does the income-related monthly adjustment, also known as IRMA, work?
Right. And IRMA can be awfully confusing for folks. So what the government does is they've established guidelines for when the government's going to charge someone more than the standard rate for mm-hmm. Medicare Part B. I didn't really talk about that, but the government does not charge for Part A. They do charge a premium for Part B. The standard rate this year is $135.50 a month. That's per person. So if you got a couple going on Medicare, they're each going to pay it. And what the government does is they're going to look back at someone's tax return from 2 years previously to establish their Part B premium. Mm-hmm. So in 2019, they're looking at someone's 2017 return. When we get to 2020, they're only going to look at their 2018 return.
Yep.
And again, so the way they look at it is if someone's filing jointly, if their modified adjusted gross income exceeds, next year their starting indexes exceeds $174,000 on a joint basis, they're at the level where they start to hit you with a surcharge. Mm-hmm. And there's five different levels of surcharges depending upon that income.
Yep.
If you're a single person, it's going to be $87,000. So if you're under those numbers, you just pay the standard rate.
Right.
If you're above those numbers, though, you will pay an increased rate. And they also surcharge your prescription drug plan as well.
Okay.
Now, you are allowed to appeal that surcharge if you have a life-changing event. So for some folks, when they retire, their income is going to actually drop. Many folks, it doesn't because it's replaced by 401k or IRA withdrawals. But if your income is actually going to drop, you want to file an appeal right away because remember, the government takes 2 years to look back at your tax return, so they won't see that drop in income in a given year in 2 years from now. So you're allowed to file an appeal, and if they honor it, they will reduce that surcharge or maybe eliminate it, period.
Okay. Great. And that is something that we can work with clients and their accountants on to see kind of get to that sweet spot and make sure they don't have the additional income.
And also, because of the way they've set up these different areas for surcharges, withdrawing money from IRA and 401ks can put someone into a higher bracket.
Yep. Yes.
And that could be significant.
Yep.
So like you guys know, there are some ways you can work around that. Maybe making a qualified charitable contribution directly from the IRA mm-hmm. will eliminate some IRA income coming to you, or doing some other planning. And it's important you do that because these rates can be awfully high depending yep. upon what that income is.
Definitely.
Yep.
So you had mentioned the supplemental plan a couple mm-hmm. times. I think a lot of people get it confused with Part C.
Right.
Can you explain the difference?
Sure. It's a great question. So a Medicare supplement plan does what it kind of sounds like. It supplements someone's Medicare A and B. So they hold on to their A and B. They pay an additional premium to the insurance company. Now, the rules are changing a little bit for supplements. I'll talk about that in a second. But in Massachusetts, because we're always different in every way of life than every other state, and we know better here, Medicare works a little bit differently in Massachusetts. So when someone looks at a Medicare supplement plan in Mass, they want to look at something called Supplement 1. All right? That is equivalent to Plan F in all the other states. So if they have friends that live outside of Massachusetts and they have a true Medicare supplement plan, most likely they have Plan F. The great news about Supplement 1 is all those deductibles and co-payments that come with Medicare A and B are paid by the insurance company. So with Supplement 1, someone is covered 100%, both inpatient and outpatient under Medicare. And Medicare will cover anything that's medically necessary. So if there are any deductibles or co-payments that would arise out of Part A or Part B when someone needs care, the supplement plan will step in and pay for all of that. Another good aspect of the supplement plan is these plans never have a network. So a supplement is not a PPO or an HMO. You have total freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. Someone has the ability to go to any doctor they want anywhere in the country. They just have to confirm that doctor takes Medicare. Right now, 98% of them do. The best part is they never need a referral. So they just call the doctor's office. They ask them if they take Medicare. It's the same question whether they're in California mm-hmm. or North Dakota. If the doctor says yes, they show up. They show their Medicare card. They show their supplement card, and they're all done. No okay. co-payments, no deductibles are covered at 100%. So that's a great program for folks that have some medical issues.
Yep.
Because now when they sign up for Medicare, it's an easy way for them to budget what their added costs are going to be by adding that 100% coverage on top of their Medicare. And I find the other group of folks that really like the supplement plan are those who are looking for peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly have scores and scores of clients that will tell me, knock on wood, they don't have a lot of medical issues, but they want to know if they have to use a plan, they go wherever they want. They don't need a referral, and they're covered at 100%.
Yep.
So again, the fact is you can go back and forth from the supplement plan to the Advantage plan every year, and it's really just sitting down and feeling, trying to figure out what someone's most comfortable with. And the great thing in Mass is no pre-existing conditions to worry about.
Yes, that is huge.
Yeah.
So just to give you a scenario, if I have a client that is going to be working past age 65 and they mm-hmm. work for a large company, do they need to sign up for Medicare? How does that work?
Right. Great question. So most folks are not going to be required to sign up for Medicare. I always turn them back to their HR department just to double check with them. But typically the cutoff is 20 employees. So if they're with a company that's more than 20 employees, most likely they will not be required to sign up for Medicare A and B if they're going to continue to work. But as I talked about a few minutes ago, when they retire, if the company's going to offer them COBRA, that's not the employer plan anymore. They're paying the full premium for that plan, plus maybe a 3-4% admin fee. That's the time they want to look into sign up for Medicare Part A and Part B, and they want to do it within 6 months of going on COBRA. But if they're going to continue to work to age 80, they don't have to sign up for Medicare. They can continue on with the employer plan. For many folks, it's about doing the math, because as you guys realize, a lot of these employer plans aren't as generous as they used to be in the past.
Right.
Large deductibles, large copay. So someone at that age would have the ability to actually go on Medicare A and B, continue to work, and drop the company plan and be covered maybe in a better fashion under Medicare.
Right.
So for that scenario, I'll sit down and try and find out what they're paying for their plan at work, if they're comfortable with that, and maybe it might make sense to go on Medicare.
So it's good to have the conversation regardless at age 65.
And the good thing about it is they don't have to worry about open enrollment. They can come off their plan at work at any time during the year when they're over 65. So if something should change on their end, they have the ability to make a change throughout the year. They don't have to worry about the open enrollment period.
That's great.
So it's nice too. Yeah, it's very flexible.
Well, this is actually kind of an opposite scenario. Mm-hmm. If a client plans to retire before age 65, what are their options for
Healthcare? So those get a little bit more difficult. Again, COBRA may be a good option for them. And as you guys realize, COBRA can last for up to 18 months. Mm-hmm. Or they can sign up for an individual plan, you know, like with Tufts or Harvard Pilgrim or Fallon or one of the companies that offer individual programs. Excuse me. And this is a time of year that if someone has an individual plan, they can make a change for next year. Mm-hmm. So again, it's let's see what COBRA would cost. And we do the math, compare that with an individual plan. And they go as much comfortable with. Now, when COBRA's gone, they really don't have many options at that point. That's when they need to sign up for an individual plan.
Right. Okay.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today, Stu. If someone is interested in working with you, what is the best way to contact you?
Well, I would say this time of year, since I'm on the road quite a lot, my phone number is great. I'm happy to give that out. It's 339-987-9770, or certainly contact Liz or Kate at Barry, and they would be happy to pass along any contact information for me.
Okay,
thanks, you guys, for asking me. I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun.
Sure. And we'll make sure to post Stu's contact details in our show notes. And again, you can contact us at planning@barryia.com with any questions.
So thanks for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode of the Barry Broadcast. Our regulatory information can be found on our website. Thank you.